was worth saying's question time review.
You have entertained me, Dominic Lawson, the Sunday Times. Question time, the 18th of June, 2020. The panel, to be arranged, to be announced, Conservative. Lisa Nandy, Labour. Munira Wilson, Liberal Democrat. Jed Mercurio, writer. Steve Parrish, businessman. The venue, London. The expert who advised Thomas Guy to put his money into hospitals, His Grace, the Nobel laureate, the Very Reverend Professor Dr. Sir Robert Peston, MD, FRCS, DPhil, MPhil, FRS, ITV, Sultan and Hai Yang D. Pertuan of the Peston Show is unable to attend this evening's programme. As we begin, Dr. Bob stands in the rubble of Guy's very own hospital, comforting the untreated sick. It has been demolished because of Bible publisher Thomas's shareholding in the slave-owning South Sea Company a mere 300 years ago. The coronavirus pandemic figures for Wednesday the 17th of June via Oxford University's Our World in Data and my local newspaper are as follows, adjusted to per million. First, 1,138, my home city. Second, 833, Belgium. Third, 614, the UK. Fourth, 580, Spain. My home city never gets a mention in mainstream media. It is one of many hotspots which are ignored, the current fixation being BAME. Despite Belgium's higher death rate, the Times claims that their Prime Minister is playing a blinder, while Boris Johnson is bashed at every opportunity. Coronavirus media coverage is based upon biased political narrative, not science. Jed Mercurio is Italian, Lisa Nandy Indian, Fiona Bruce Singaporean, Munira Wilson Pakistani. The British having been ethnically cleansed from Question Time, I shall ethnically cleanse the Question Time non-entities from the QT review. The exception being Munira Wilson, Liberal Democrat Party, who is a grammar school and Cambridge educated career lobbyist and charity waste of space. She is the MP for Twickenham. Munira is only the third elected Liberal MP of colour since the party was founded in 1859, the other two being Permit Singh, elected in 2005, and Dababhai Naroji, 1892. We shall exclude Ernest Suarez, 1895, as he doesn't look very foreign. Likewise, the ludicrous Leila Moron, who self-defines herself as if Oxfordshire's first pansexual Arab. There have been non-white MPs who have defected to the Lib Dems. However, each and every one of them has been thrown out by Lib Dem voters at the first opportunity. Why is this the case? Why have there been more blacks in the Ku Klux Klan and the Nazi Party than in the Liberal Democrats? Is it because the Lib Dems are weapons-grade racists who worship Hitler? Yes, it is. And here's the proof. Liberal Prime Minister Gladstone's maiden speech in the House of Commons consisted of a stout defence of slavery. The Gladstones were some of the biggest slavers in the British Empire, to the extent of being compensated with £14 million of taxpayers' money in today's prices upon abolition. Another Liberal Prime Minister, Lloyd George, returned from pre-war Nazi Germany with the following impression. The people are more cheerful. There is a greater sense of general gaiety of spirit throughout the land. It is a happier Germany. I saw it everywhere. An Englishman I met during my trip, and who knew Germany, well, were very impressed with the change. During that 1936 visit, Lloyd George met Hitler, of whom he wrote, "One man has accomplished this miracle. He is a born leader of men, a magnetic, dynamic personality with a single-minded purpose, a resolute will, and a dauntless heart." With that pedigree, perhaps one might congratulate the Liberals on being able to attract three BAMEs in 161 years. At least they would never cover up paedophilia. Oh. St. Marcus of Rashford is the newly canonised patron saint of change. Praying to St. Marcus will help fat people to feed their children, make black people white, and end the race war. On tonight's Question Time, St. Marcus was patronised to death in much the same way that St. Stephen was stoned to death. Marcus Rashford is part of a co-op advertising campaign run by the Lucky Generals agency, whose other clients include Amazon. Another well-known client is Betty's and Taylor's, who make Yorkshire tea and Taylor's coffee. In selling fast-moving consumables, groceries to you plebs, Lucky Generals tend to make much use of Twitter and virtue signalling. Remember last week's "We'd rather racists didn't buy our tea" tweet? This is because they are selling to females. Lucky Generals describes its co-op campaign thus. So we set out to reassert the co-op's brand purpose and have created a through-the-line campaign that stretches across all its different business units, food, insurance and funeral care. The campaign shows how buying from the co-op not only gives you a great product, but helps fund local initiatives, charities and spaces. The first round of the campaign was supposed to increase footfall via Easter egg purchases. Ruined by coronavirus, it was replaced by a Zoom-based appeal in which co-op employees, local heroes, encouraged viewers to donate to Fair Share, a food distribution charity. The second round of the campaign was similar, but included Rashford, who struggles with the Zoom technology. He is helped by a smiling white person. This is called a Go OJ moment. It is named from a Hertz, O.J. Simpson, Ted Bates & Company commercial directed by Fred Levinson. In it, the young athletic black male is established as unthreatening by being endorsed by an old white lady shouting, "Go, O.J.," as Simpson rushes through the airport to his hire car. Round three of the campaign is the free meals U-turn message that you have seen this week. The Co-op and Lucky Generals have struck gold with this campaign. Expect them to mine it very carefully and very subtly. The Co-op brand will be gently associated with it, rather than being slapped upon it in giant letters. This must not look like a hard-nosed sell. It must look like world-changing charity. Yes, everything you see is fake. Those influential U-turn hashtags will have been paid for by an agency as part of a campaign. People like me are running the world. For a number of weeks, our working assumption, dear Puffins, has been that the world has gone mad and gets madder. Last time, I hinted that the recent London media meltdown is caused by three immutables. Since then, things have got no better. On Monday, former MP and prisoner, 3 months for perverting the course of justice, Fiona On Asanya tweeted that Coco Pops are racist. There is a monkey on the box. Whereas, she intoned, the Rice Krispie packaging displays three white children. This is the fault of John Harvey Kellogg, who died in 1943. She then began to rant about the Race Betterment Foundation. Founded in 1906, it appears to have fizzled out about 7 decades ago. Upon investigation, the Coco Pops monkey has a white face, brown arms and hair. This makes things better, or 10 times worse. Over to you, Twitter. In London at the weekend, patriots protecting statues were attacked by Black Lives Matter thugs. Many were left bloodied and unconscious. The mainstream media ignored this, preferring to concentrate on images of urination and firemen's lifts. When interviewed on Channel 4 News regarding Churchill's statue, Lorraine Jones, BAME leader of the Lambeth Independent Police Advisory Group, thought that Churchill was still alive. "I've heard many arguments on both sides. Some say that he is a racist. Some say that he is a hero. I haven't personally met him." Was she joking? No, I don't think she was. She went on to say, "Well, I'll be honest, I haven't done a lot of history work with Churchill, but if I were to do that, it would be based on my findings." Genius. More nonsense was to follow. Read on. Since the last QT Review, Fawlty Towers episodes have been banned, as has Gone with the Wind. Uber BBC lefty Mark Gatiss' League of Gentlemen has been banned too. Guffaw. Tom Lehrer is credited with realising that satire had died when, in 1973, the Nobel Peace Prize was awarded to those who'd been bombing Vietnam. Television humour has joined it in the hereafter, throttled to death. Why is the London media bubble melting down? Let's explore those three immutables. We are told that we live in a world in which you can be anything, change anything, and become anything. It is a lie. You can't. There are some things that you cannot change. They are immutable. Let's look at three which are relevant. Race, history, and London. These can be lied about, but not changed. Looking at battlefield stress in World War II air crews, an article on the Imperial War Museum website tells us, on operations, most aircrew feared anti-aircraft fire, known as flak, although statistically they were more likely to be shot down by fighters. Why might this be? Bomber Craig's blog provides us with the following eyewitness contribution. Forced to fly straight and level with their bomb doors open, they were like fish in a barrel for the enemy defences below. Being coned in searchlights was terrifying. One moment you're in a complete blackout, and the next you're caught by beams of intense light, Pearson recalled. One thought floods your mind, that you're the one, that you've been picked out of all the other aircraft around you. You know what happens next because you've looked out and seen it all before, seen other planes suddenly illuminated, then hit by shells from the ground. The threat from German fighters, although more likely to be lethal, was less stressful as it could be countered. Our fighters accompanied the bombers for part of the way. Fire could be returned from gun positions on the bombers. With flak, there was nothing that the crews could do. It appeared very suddenly out of nowhere. The inability for autonomous action in anticipation of sudden, unavoidable personal harm is extremely stressful. This reviewer contends that this explains the London media's reaction to the sudden emergence of a Black Lives Matter movement local to them. Having claimed that in theory, we must look for proof by experimenting on a sample. With apologies to Conrad, has the heart of darkness been bound yet? I sent a party into darkest London. Having fought their way along the Thames, they hacked inland to Fleet Street, returning with tales of bizarre and varied tribes, strange rituals, and many mysterious languages, they brought back with them an excellent specimen, nicely snared. It took 50 native bearers and 3 elephants to carry his privilege. Son of a cabinet minister, brother of a TV celebrity, son-in-law of the 2nd Viscount Monckton of Brenchley, heir to a fortune and, important to our purpose, a high panjandrum of the London media bubble. He is to the printed word what Dr. Sir Bob Peston is to stethoscope and needle. How will he react to BLM incoming? Recalling an unfortunate and recent use of the N-word, I administered to our captive the opportunity for apology and redress. Regular readers will be aware that my solicitor was last seen in jail. Although armed with the simple sword of truth and shield of right, I shall tiptoe into the closet of caution and write from beneath the table of great care. For legal reasons, I shall reproduce my emails, but paraphrase our anonymous great man of words is. Dear Mr. Lawson, I can recall your use of the N-word during a BBC radio programme with Trevor Phillips. How do you intend to apologise for this and redress the wrong? Yours sincerely. Bigly triggered, Mr. Lawson replied that I was ignorant and deliberately obtuse. He blanked out the N-word in his reply, but repeated in full, "Yid." He hid behind the BBC editorial department and Trevor Phillips. Deliberately obtuse? Moi? I felt obliged to respond. Dear Mr. Lawson, thank you for a prompt reply. I'm surprised and disappointed to read that you consider challenging racism to be ignorant or obtuse. It was wrong and racist for you to use that word. It was wrong and racist for the BBC to allow it. And wrong and racist for Trevor Phillips to condone its use. I would encourage you to apologise and redress, as other media racists have in recent days. Yours sincerely. At this point, the specimen became even more bigly triggered, defining my life experiences for me, calling me ridiculous, and reminding me that I'm obtuse. Mr. Lawson, Eton and Westminster, a first-class honours degree in a comedy non-subject from a university funded by colonialism, suggested that myself, unheard of public school, first in a useful subject from an excellent university, needed to be educated. He would pass my letter on to Mr. Trevor Phillips, grammar school, useful subject, university born of the empire. Mr. Phillips has, claimed Mr. Lawson, an actual experience of racism, unlike me. I await Mr. Phillips's knock on the door at midnight. Regarding Mr. Lawson's assumptions about my life, my experiences and my understandings of them, Puffins with Nothing to Do on a Saturday Evening may recall your inadequate reviewer's semi-autobiographical memoir. I've lived a varied life. So have you. So has everybody. Do the London media bubble realise this? I felt obliged to continue the experiment. Dear Mr. Lawson, thank you for your reply. I look forward to hearing from Mr. Phillips. I would be grateful if you would tell me what race or ethnicity I belong to and recount all of my life experiences to me, after which you and I shall decide what my understanding and experience of racism are. Sincerely. In his reply, Mr. Lawson sneered at my no doubt tragic life. He went on to say that I had entertained him. Does this constitute a review of your humble reviewer? I think it does. We shall use it as a strapline recommendation. At this point, Mr. Lawson was released back into the wild, slightly bruised and self-destructively unrepentant. The London media bubble is melting down under the stress of an unavoidable monster of their own creation. In the face of the inevitable cultural conflict caused by their enthusiasm for immigration and multiculturalism, they can do nothing to change the differences between races or the pejoratives from history. Worse still, the laughable national media are trapped in one of the most badly affected meltdown hotspots, London. The terror weapons provided by political correctness, particularly the accusation of racism, are ignored or have been captured by their enemies, including patriots, and used against them. The London media are like a deluded primitive tribe who thought that bathing in magic water would make them bulletproof. They deserve everything that's coming to them.